This is Mythical.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Nicole, curly fries or waffle fries?
Curly.
Crinkle cut or wedge cut?
Wedge.
Potato smiles or sidewinders?
Are you talking about french fries?
Swagjackers or dump flumpers?
What the hell is going on?
This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What?
Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. I'm your host, Josh Scher.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And we're internet chefs over Good Mythical Morning and Mythical Kitchen when we're not making... What have we done crazy with French fries?
Wendy's French fry?
Wendy's French fry frosty cheesecakes.
Yeah.
We're over here taking on the world's biggest food debates, Nicole. And
That's today, Josh.
We got a heck of a debate going on.
We are diving
into the wonderful and diverse world of French fries. Is that how you dive?
Do you know how to dive?
I feel like I learned when I was a child, and I haven't been able to put that into practice in a while.
I've never been able to dive. I'm not a dover.
When's the last time you were in a pool where diving was appropriate, though?
I like go to people's houses. They have pools.
How deep are their pools?
How deep is your pool? How deep? Like 10 feet. Can you dive in 10 feet water?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I haven't been in a pool deeper than 5 feet in years.
I'm sorry about that.
And I kind of try and half dive, but I'm very safe.
Do you want to come to a pool that's
I want to come to one of your 10-foot deep pools, but that's not what we're debating right now.
It's not mine. It's my friend's.
We are debating what the best cut of French fry is out there, and there's a lot more than people realize.
This is a very silly podcast. Let me just say that. I think it's super silly.
Why? Why do you think it's silly? I think it's very serious.
Oh, you do?
Yes, Nicole.
I don't know. I think it's kind of what's the word? Like arbitrary? Is that what it is?
Yeah, but I mean, everything is arbitrary, right? Taste,
there's
no accounting for taste. But that said, I think there is a scientific way to figure out what the best French fry is.
I see.
You know what I mean?
I see. Well,
but first, you have to figure out your French fry values. You have to decide what a French fry means to you. Because French fries have been relegated to being a side dish for so long.
When you say value, does that mean math has to be included in this conversation?
No,
because
values?
Because if so, I'm out. I'm not good at math. And if I have to have potatoes deep fried and fat and then have to incorporate math into that, I can't really like...
There's already too much science involved in French fry cookery.
That a good French fry? Oh my gosh.
No, I meant values as in like morals and ethics.
Oh, so you're putting the guise of morals and ethics into French fries?
Yeah, but more so just like figuring out what a French fry means to you, right? And what makes a French fry good or bad. Because like Nicole, the ancient Greeks, right?
We love the Greeks.
We love the Greeks.
I had Greek food yesterday.
Who's your favorite ancient Greek?
Papa Christo. If you know, you know. If you know, you know.
Papa Christo is a lovely Greek restaurant in Los Angeles, and I don't think Papa Christo was an ancient Greek, but boy, do I love their souvlaki.
So sweet. So small.
What's the sauce? Lucanico is the best. Oh my God.
Yeah,
best sausage I've ever
eaten. You were saying about Greek.
I'm saying they studied aesthetics in beauty and like what actually makes people beautiful, what makes things beautiful. And I think we need to figure out what makes a French fry beautiful.
May I ask one question?
Okay.
Oh, was the Fibonacci sequence one of those things?
I was going to make a Fibonacci sequence reference earlier, and then I was like, I have no idea what it actually is, so I'm just going to kill
that. Okay, so never mind.
Definitely not. Fibonacci is definitely like a modern Italian name.
Okay. Oops.
And I only know it from Angels and Demons, the Dan Brown book, the precursor to the Da Vinci Code.
Never read it, never seen it, never spark notes it, never done a thing about
it. Bro, Tom Hanks is Robert Langdon?
Sorry.
Come on. Shout out Tom Hanks from the show. No, I have no idea what a Fibonacci sequence is, but I know people draw the stupid little spirals.
I think it has to do with
things.
Beauty and like equality and like visual appearance and joy, maybe.
If we're going by that metric, the best French fry.
Curly
fries. Which, hold on, because that is my initial answer.
Yeah, I love curly fries.
But is it actually the curliness that I like? Or is it the fact that most curly fries have a seasoned batter dredge.
I think that's it.
Right? Same.
It. Yeah.
Same.
It's beautiful. Have you ever bought a spiralizer before and spiralized your own curly fries?
Yeah, they never turn out as good as the stuff from a factory,
though. Because you don't batter them.
I do batter them.
You batter yours at home?
I do batter them, but the spiralizer does not get my curly fries thick enough, and I don't know what the deal is.
Interesting. Okay.
They're like thin, and then you lose the potatoiness.
Because they don't expect you to batter it at home.
Potentially. I don't know what the spiralizer people expect me to do with it. And I feel like spiralizers were created for one thing and one thing only.
Zoodles!
Freaking zoodles, man.
Zoodles.
I hate zoodles.
Zoodles
are bad.
A lie.
For people who don't know, a zoodle is a portmanteau of zucchini and noodle. And
I'm not down with it.
No.
You know what I'm down with, though?
Ma.
Lasagna. Zucchini lasagna.
It's too wet.
No, I would do that instead of zoodles. Zoodles are a lie. Zucchini lasagna, valid.
Zucchini lasagna, you've made a zucchini lasagna that isn't just grotesquely wet, just filled with puddles of water. What do? Do you?
You know what I do?
Do you salt cure them? I've tried that.
Okay, I've made it the day before, and then I drain it, and then I cut a piece out of it, and then I sear
monstrous.
It. What do you mean? It works totally fine.
It's just do it with like eggplant and make moussaka.
You can also do that.
What do you value in a french fry? Nicole, I want to like dig down into your morals right now.
Okay, what do I value in a french fry? Well, with a french fry eating experience, I think it's really important that you get a nice softness to, not crunchiness, but a soft to crisp ratio, I think, is really important. I think a properly salted fry is very important. How much salt and how much flavor that it can get out of a french fry.
Now, we're talking salt or seasoning?
Either or.
Okay.
I think a well-salted french fry is equal to a well-seasoned battered curly / waffle fry.
And I would agree with that.
Cool. Yeah. That's the most important thing. I think softness to crispness, and then proper seasoning or salt is like the most important thing.
I would agree with the softness to crispness because to me that's like what makes a French fry unique as a method of potato cookery.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
Is the fact that you can get that crispy exterior and the soft, fluffy potato pulpy interior.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think that takes off a couple fries. Okay. Right from our list, right? Like shoestrings.
But I love eating shoestrings.
I love eating shoestrings, though. That's the problem.
Oh,
that's the problem.
See, this is the problem.
Because shoestrings are like popcorn. You can grab a whole fistful and shove them in
like
your mouth.
Like a haystack.
A haystack.
It's so fun to share with friends.
But.
And eating french fries with friends is the best part.
I don't know. I love eating french fries alone. I love being confronted with a mountain of french fries that you couldn't possibly eat yourself. And then you see it as a challenge and you're like, I will eat this mountain of french fries myself. And so you do.
This is going to be so hard, everybody. Like choosing between the best french fries, like choosing my favorite children that don't exist yet. It's really hard.
Ezra.
Oh, really?
Ezra is my favorite child that doesn't exist yet.
Aww.
Yeah, we're going to call him Ezzy.
He's
going to be a shot putter, but he really loves musical theater.
I'm not going to say the name of my future firstborn on this.
Why?
I don't think it's public knowledge, and I don't think it should be shared with everyone.
Do you know what it is, Maggie?
No, but I don't think she should.
Yeah.
What? What do you mean?
It's a secret. Because people steal. People
are going to steal his name? Don't you name your kid Ezra.
It's going to be a girl,
Ezra's mine.
Ezra. I don't know yet. I don't know yet.
Ezra, if it's a girl.
Esme,
if it's a boy.
Esme.
Don't even Esme. Esme, I associate Esme with the movie Role Models.
Oh.
Esme, goddess of Navelworth.
Okay.
Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
We've only talked about shoestring fries, and this podcast is like almost over.
No, it's not almost over. Bro, we've only just begun. Okay, I'm trying to stay on track. Maggie, can we get a list going? We're going to name as many fries. I feel like... there's no one single use for a french fry, right? Is it a side to a burger? Is it a shareable thing that you want to enjoy socially with friends? Like popcorn is a single use. The only use of popcorn.
Share popcorn.
I'm saying that's the use. The use of popcorn is something to be shared by people watching a movie.
You could also have
a baseball game. Or a baseball game. Right? Baseball and movies are what popcorn is made for. And I'm saying
game.
French fries, people might think of it as a single-use food.
I don't think it's a single-use food.
I agree. Because, like, and that's a very American thing, burger and french fries. You go to France, right? They're serving french fries with steak tartare. They're serving french fries with mussels. Those are different things. And you want a different experience to go with that, right?
Sure.
Because I'm eating a steak tartare, which I almost exclusively did when I was in Paris, in Marseille. On Nice.
Saying so many words.
But like, I want a different type of fry for steak tartare. I want shoestrings.
I want waffle.
Scoop it.
What?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Waffle with steak tartare would be very
waffle
good. Got to be very crisp.
Waffle with steak tartare, 100% tartare.
Moule frit, what do you want?
almost a steak fry. Almost. Interesting. You want to know why? Sops it all up.
Yeah. You need a sopper. You need a sopper. And you need a certain amount of surface area for sopping.
And a steak fry will do that.
And a steak fry will do that.
I think I love steak fries, too.
I agree with that.
What
because
am I doing?
Steak fry.
What am I doing here? I'm about to have an identity crisis. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I want in life. I like all french fries.
But what about burger? Burger. Best side of fry for burger.
Oh, my God. Regular? What is a regular fry? Regular.
Like fast food style. You're talking like a McDonald's cut.
Whenever I close my eyes, Josh, close your eyes for a second. Mm-hmm. Keep them closed. If you open them, I'll know.
I'm dizzy. Okay. I'm a little hungover.
Okay. When you look in your mind, what French fry do you see? I see McDonald's.
I see McDonald's.
Yeah. Okay. Your eyes were closed the whole time.
Can I open my eyes? Seriously, sure. I get the spins when I close my eyes. It's not that bad. I went to like a metal show last night. My ears are ringing a bit. Shout out to Bloodywood and Vended. They absolutely crushed it.
I wasn't there, but I'm sure it was.
Yeah. Do you want
fun.
Me to invite you next time?
You already did, and I declined.
I invited you?
And I declined.
Nobody wants to go with
me. Not that I don't want to go to a metal show with you. It's just it wasn't the right time or place.
Yeah, it's a Sunday. It's tough. We're recording this on a Monday. Yeah. Do you think that there can be a universal best type of french fry, or it has to be dependent with...
I don't know. I don't know.
Neither.
Let's find out.
Try and think why... Because we went through a couple use cases, right, of moule frites, steak tartare, what you want with it.
Yeah.
Burgers, why do you think you want a fast food style cut french fry with a burger? Because to
speed.
Me, what do you mean speed? You're just worried about the rate at which you can get the
it's
fries
fast.
In your mouth?
Yeah. The way that you can eat the french fries, you like can get like six at a time. You can't do that with a wedge. You can't do that with a steak. You can do it with a shoestring, but it'll cut up the roof of your mouth because they're so crispy and crunchy.
How soft is the roof of your mouth?
You want to touch it? It's pretty hot.
I don't want to touch it. I don't want to touch it.
It has texture on it.
I did recently go to a gastropub, which is now such a funny term, and like to the point where I see the word
in a long time.
I see the word gastropub. That used to be the most exciting word in food.
Not
in 2011.
Anymore. Yeah.
Right. So this is like we're taking bar food, but we're making everything $17, and there's gonna be an egg on the burger, and there's probably gonna be an arugula salad, and everything's gonna be not quite as good.
A flatbread
on it with oh my god, figs and blue cheese on a flatbread. Who would have thought? But anyways, I went to one recently,
okay.
And normally I try and avoid them because the food generally is just bad there. I do love some craft beers. It's walking distance from my house.
Sure.
And they had an option with their burger that was a smash burger, perfectly mediocre, perfectly fine, for their like normal fries or special house cut thick fries.
Oh, okay.
And I got their special house cut thick fries. Nicole, these are like, I mean, they're like a Lincoln log of a fry.
Mm.
And they're done really well. They're super crispy. You can tell they're fried at least twice. Might even be a triple fry.
Very nice.
Right?
I feel like a triple fry just means that someone forgot about the fries and they're refiring the fries.
Which is fine. Like, honestly, but it makes it better. And I do agree with that. They call it sandbagging in restaurants, right? Where you're like, I'm going to pre-cook all my food. And then when people order it, just drop it again.
That's a good way to do it.
Right? It's efficient. But point is, the fries are done really well. But they were so thick and so potatoey and pulpy that I did not like them with my burger.
Because it's its own meal almost, right?
It's its own meal.
Yeah, I get that.
It's its own standalone thing.
Sure.
If you want a side, I need something that's thin, that's salty, that has texture.
Fast food fry.
Right?
Yeah.
So we've established that you need different fries for different things.
That's true. But what is the best? We still need to go through like 40 million other ones.
Okay, let's go through other fries. Let's start just naming all the fries we can.
Okay. Tornado fries. You ever had the tornado fry?
I do not recognize that as a fry.
What?
I do not recognize that as a fry.
Oh my gosh, in Santee Alley, that's like my thing.
So the tornado, you're talking about you take a potato
and
it's like... You put it on a stick.
And then you spiralize it with the stick, and then you deep fry the whole thing on the stick.
So it's a crispy potato, and it's like kind of battered, right? There's like a loose batter on it.
It's a dealer's choice.
Do not recognize it as a french fry.
Why?
We got to go over to the etymology of french fry. I know we have a lot to get through. Etymology of french fry. The history of the french fry. Nicole, French does not refer to the country, right? So when France refused to back George Bush's war on terror, we refused to call them french fries. We called them freedom fries. What they actually don't realize.
Insert American flag here.
Yo, I went to a place in El Reno, Oklahoma that still called them freedom fries, which
is
wild. But this is like 2 years ago.
Oh my god, shut up.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
That's incredible.
But anyways, so the French doesn't refer to the country. It does in a way, but it refers to the knife cut.
Yes.
So like French cut green beans, right?
Sure.
That's the same thing. These are
snippin', yes.
These are French cut potatoes that are fried in the style of fritkot in Belgium.
Is it like a bâtonnet?
A bâtonnet, yeah, exactly. Like
which
that's exactly what
gun.
French cut means.
Or really? Baton? What's a baton?
I think it's a baton's like
or
a
bayonet.
Stick.
Oh, okay, that
no,
makes sense.
No, I don't think it means bayonet.
Oh.
Are you thinking of mitraillette?
Yeah.
Which means submachine gun, which is a great sandwich in Belgium that has
french fries
on it. But point is, they're like a Belgian thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally. I get that. Why are you excluding tornado fries?
Because
that's shady.
Because if French refers to the cut, I think a French fry has to be somewhat log shaped.
Okay, false. What about potato smile?
Potato smiles are not a French fry. Potato smiles are indeed.
What about home
do
fries?
People know what potato smiles are? They're like this. You can find it in the freezer section at some grocery stores.
It's mashed potatoes that they carve a smiley face into when you deep fry it, and you give it to the little kiddies or the young adults that do not have a proper palate, and then it's cute. It's fun to eat.
That's another fantastic Central European dish called a croquette.
So okay, well, whatever. Well, a croquette and a fry.
A potato
like
croquette and a fry are not the same. No,
okay,
I don't want to live in a world where a potato croquette and a French fry are the same. That's like saying a hash brown is a
oh
fry.
My gosh, have you ever had one of those? Have you ever had a French fry that was like piped out and it was like long? Like, have you ever had the Korean style French fries that are like piped out? It's a long
special
croquette.
Dispensation for that. That's not a long croquette. That's a mashed up fry. But the shape is important.
Shut
the shape is important.
Up.
And Nicole, before you get to like, well, curly fries aren't, but they are. Curly
no,
fries
not.
Are a thin rectangle. They are a
pull it out,
rectangular prism. Correct.
But
that
you don't
is coiled
eat it
around
pulled
itself.
Out. But you don't eat it pulled out.
I might pull out.
No, you don't.
Sometimes.
No, you don't.
Waffle fries. They are batons that are crosshatched on each
okay,
other.
Okay, you. No, no, no. They are the shape of the fry. You are lying to yourself.
I'm not.
What about cottage fries? You know the big ones where they just cut out like they look like thick ass chips. What about
oh,
those?
They're like crinkle cut. They're like the crinkle cottage fries.
No, I'll show you. I'll show you these guys. These guys look. They're not crinkle.
Okay, but have you had the ones that I think only if they're crinkled, then they can be a French fry because the crinkles create the illusion of like corrugated steel, which looks rectangular.
Josh,
these are the rules I'm making up.
Josh, your rules are fake. Well, I don't think tater tots are French fries. I think tater tots
of course they're not.
They're
tater
hash
tots,
browns.
It's a hash brown.
Yeah.
It's a croquette.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's
which
not
the
a
same
croquette.
Thing as a potato smile.
It's not a croquette because the croquette is mashed and the hash is shredded.
There's only three kinds of French fries. There's small, medium, and large.
What
right?
about sweet
you
potato?
Have what?
What do you feel about sweet
get
potato?
Get the hell out of here with sweet
I love,
potato,
you
fries.
Don't like, I love
no.
sweet potato fries.
No. So sweet potato fries do not satisfy because you need the salty potato.
False.
French fries have to be.
False.
The sweet potato fries are, it's a great dessert. I love it.
What? Oh, I actually I went somewhere and they were serving their sweet potato fries with guess what?
Marshmallow fluff.
Yeah. Why do they do that?
Welcome to White Trash Cuisine 101.
No,
Nicole. You serve sweet potatoes with marshmallows.
It needs to be served with a funky aioli. That's how I like mine.
I refuse to acknowledge sweet potato fries.
Are you? Why do
think,
you like this, Josh? You're
I
like
think,
breaking my heart in so many different directions.
Do we want to live in a world where aberrations can be considered the best of something? Do we want to live in a
possibly,
world, Nicole, where a curly
possibly,
fry, a waffle
possibly.
Fry, a potato smile, a cottage fry, a sidewinder, a flump dumper, a swack jacker can be in the same echelon as a McDonald's fast food cut fry?
What? Heck is a swag jacker?
If you had I just made up the word swag jacker. Does that mean something? I don't know. Somebody should Urban Dictionary.
It means you're jacking someone's swag.
No, swack.
Swack jacker?
I'll go to people in the gym and be like,
why did you touch me?
I don't know. That's weird.
I have to do it.
I was trying to touch
so
the table
even.
And I accidentally touched you. I'll go up to the gym and just like fist bump people and be like, yo, bro, looking swag jacked. And I don't know what it means. I just maybe made it up. But the point is, if you were to have one French fry for the rest of your life. This is where you really find out what
oh
your values
God.
Are. What is the one French fry you would eat for the rest of your life?
Okay, just alone or with somebody?
It doesn't matter. It's just the only French fry.
Of course it matters.
No,
you
I'm
said
saying
there's
you
multiple uses for a French fry. I'm trying to get to the bottom
no,
of it.
No, but I'm saying you have one French fry. Every other French fry in the world disappears like Thanos snapping. The other ones go. You can only pick one French fry for the rest of your life to use in every single situation.
Fast food style.
It's a McDonald's fry.
It's a McDonald's fry.
It's McDonald's fry. I wouldn't go that far. I would go Belgian frietkot style. I would go original. I think they perfected the fry when they did that. It's a little bit thicker. It's going to be a little bit less satisfying with a burger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I get it.
It's going to be a little bit less satisfying with like steak tartare than a...
But no one is eating fries with steak tartare, Josh. You got to think about the everyman.
The French!
Here. Okay, but...
The French!
This is an American podcast!
Are you... You're still mad that... was it Sarkozy didn't... Was it Sarkozy back
then? I don't
know then?
Anything about this and I don't
I have
care
no
about
idea.
It.
Yeah, I
this
still
is
don't
a
remember.
Podcast in America. What are you eating your French fries like?
Do they call it Freedom Toast too?
Oops. My thing fell. Hold on. You can just...
We're falling apart.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What about wedge fries?
Potato wedges?
Potato wedges. They're battered, right?
Okay, here's an interesting use case that we need to go through. KFC.
What about them?
So KFC, French fries and fried chicken, to me, it's not a great combination.
I like it with slaw.
It's the same, because fried chicken, you're already getting a fried meat. Exactly. I want slaw as the panchan to cut through, sure. Right? If KFC refuses to give me kimchi with my order, I need coleslaw. but like French fries don't work with fried chicken well to me. That said, people like to eat French fries. So KFC used to have their potato wedges, which were thick,
epic,
and soft and so well seasoned.
So good.
And they were fried, but it wasn't like crispy, so it didn't double up necessarily.
It was like fried then wilted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was beautiful. It was like fried and steamed.
It was beautiful.
It was like a pan fried then steamed dumpling. It was
gorgeous.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
They got rid of those for your run-of-the-mill French fries, and I have a feeling it's because, and it appears to be very successful. People like French fries. They don't want these novelties. There's a reason that when you close your eyes, you see that McDonald's platonic ideal of a French fry,
and you're
not seeing curly fries. I think curly fries work uniquely well with Arby's.
I love curly fries so much, though. Like, as a standalone dish, they do really well.
I agree with that.
But not as a loaded dish, just like on its own.
Yeah.
What about loaded fries? What do you like as the base of your loaded fries?
Well, that comes into the one universal French fry. Right?
Yeah, I guess.
If you only have one universal French fry, that means that's the only fry you can have chili cheese fries with. Ugh. I don't want chili cheese curly fries.
Me either. Sounds gross.
I don't. Having a seasoning on that with the chili takes away from the chili.
100%.
Carne asada fries with the seasoning don't work for me.
No.
I want pure, proper Belgian frietcot freaking street fries covered in carne asada, sour cream, salsa verde, cheese, and guacamole.
What about waffle? Do you like waffle?
Love them.
I love them too.
Love waffle
what
fries.
Are we gonna
love
do?
Waffle fries.
What are we going to do about that?
I don't know.
You can't just delete waffle fries. They're iconic and they're delicious and they hold so much. It's like a cup. It's like a potato cup.
I still refuse to call them waffle fries. I call them Criscut fries because I first had them at Carl's Jr. and Carl's Jr. calls them Criscut fries. And I believe that they have actually trademarked that.
Interesting. What about, I have one more fry.
Go ahead.
To tickle your fancy.
I don't want my fries to be tickled.
Crinkle cut.
Oh, get the hell out of here. Crinkle cut fries suck.
I hate
crinkle cut fries suck. Why do you hate crinkle cut fries?
It's weird. I love them and then I hate them. I like have one and I'm like, oh, it's okay. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, I hate this whole entire experience. Why am I doing this to myself? I freaking hate these mother freaking stupid crinkle cut french fries. They're so disgusting. I hate them. I don't like the ridges on them. They don't hold anything. It's disgusting.
You're the biggest proponent of crinkle cutting vegetables.
I love crinkle
cutting. You bought crinkle cutting scissors for our kitchen to crinkle cut carrots.
Yeah, because they look so pretty in soups and stews. Have you ever gone to like a Thai restaurant and you're having the beautiful yellow curry and then you get a crinkle cut carrot and you're like, everything is good in this
I actually
world.
Had that the other day and it was really nice.
Right?
And I like the crinkle. I like kind of run my tongue along the crinkles. It's nice.
But not for french fries. I don't think it lends itself to french
fries. To me, it cheapens the french fry experience.
Mm.
And I don't know if I'm just being elitist about this, right? Mm. But for me, it reminds me, you know what it reminds me of?
What?
Kids cuisine TV dinners. They had crinkle cut fries that you
kid.
Would microwave. And so for me, it's childish. Grow up. Stop crinkle cutting your french fries.
No.
Eat straight cut fries like an adult.
I always wanted
Do
to
your
try
taxes.
Those. The kid cuisines with the little penguin on there.
Yeah.
My mom never let me get those.
They were always too expensive, but occasionally as like a treat, they'd go on sale and be like, oh, get the
like
kid
14
cuisine.
Of them.
Yeah.
I love french fries so much, Josh.
They are actually one of the best foods. What's the best french fry that you've ever had in your life?
Huh.
Try and go to your platonic ideal right now. Try and extract the meaning from that of what
the
made it important.
Best french fry? I don't think I've had it yet.
Whoa.
I don't think I've ever had it.
You haven't met your soulmate french fry yet.
Nope.
Have you been to the Bellwether?
No.
Man, okay. Chef Ted Hobson, shout out, at the Bellwether, makes the best french fry I've ever had in my life.
Ooh,
it's like
okay.
a three-day process.
Oh.
They're like, they're brined, they're blanched, they're frozen. They're fried. They're frozen again. They're fried again. And so they're extra crispy on that side. And they're thick because to handle that much technique and that much cook, they got to be thick because you're likely losing moisture every time you're cooking it, right? Unless you're boiling and adding moisture back in or brining it. But the fry, you're definitely losing moisture. So they're thick and they get a crisp, hefty crunch on the outside. And then on the inside, it is damn near liquidy. It is unreal.
What?
Oh my God. And it's also the type of potato.
You touched me again.
Me, dude. My depth of field is off.
Come here.
I don't want to touch you.
I need to touch you back.
Oh my God, that's weird. What was I talking about?
The bellwether.
Oh, fries. Yeah, man.
I don't think I've had my Optimus Prime. French fry.
Who do you think Optimus Prime is?
Like the number one Transformer.
Okay, you do know who Optimus Prime is. I just
the
don't understand.
The number one Transformer.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs at the same time. So it's like Optimus Prime is like up here in self-actualization.
So like once you can get your basic living expenditures down, then you can start transforming into Optimus Prime.
Exactly.
You have to work your way through like Bumblebee.
I'm in Bumblebee mode right now.
You're in Bumblebee mode right now. You're still searching for that.
I have to ask you, whenever it comes to potatoes, don't you hate whenever people try to not use an all-purpose potato for french fries? I hate that.
What do you mean? Wait, explain yourself.
Like yellow, when people use like Yukon Gold.
They should.
You like Yukon Gold french fries?
They should, yes. Yes.
What about red?
Oh my God.
What about
Kennebec? A good Kennebec fry? Actually, I don't like Kennebec. We got to talk about potato cookery real quick. So potatoes come in three different main varieties, right? They call them like waxy, starchy, and then the middle ones are just called middle, right? But like the waxy potatoes you get are like Irish red.
Yes.
Which we made french fries with all of these.
New potatoes, if you will.
New potatoes, right? Middle ones, you have your Yukon Golds. Starchy, you get your...
russet.
Stop,
Josh,
dude,
you're touching me!
Am I sitting closer? Am I gesticulating more than I normally do?
Just keep your hand here.
I'm sorry, dude.
Just keep your hand here.
I'm trying to. I'm not...
Stay! Good hand.
Okay, no, now I feel creepy. Now I feel weird about this. I feel like the guy who was like really just trying to get to the bar and accidentally like brushed the girl, and then she like looks back at you and you're don't flatter yourself. It's just a crowded bar.
Josh, you've been my friend for 4 years. It's fine if you touch my hand every once in a while. Now you have to do it back so it's even. Do it back!
Russet potatoes, I think, they actually take a deceptive amount of cookery to get right with french fries. If you're like just deep fried a russet potato and it just immediately starts browning.
I've never deep fried a russet
potato. Starch can
whole.
Not whole.
But you got to specify, Josh.
Okay, but I'm saying like you've done like, people say you got to rinse them, you got to dry them, you got to freeze them to get the starch off because starch converts to sugar at high heat, right? And then you get browning on your potatoes. I've made so many worse russet potato french fries than I have Yukon Golds. And I think the French, they use a different kind of potato out there.
Le rat. Is that what they use?
I don't think so. I think that was a really specific, weird type of potato.
Oh, that's
that
Joel
Robuchon's
potato. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I like all-purpose. Whenever I'm doing like fries at home, which I rarely ever do, but I find myself leaning towards AP or all-purpose. Yukon Gold, for some reason, doesn't do it for me. I don't know why. Like when I go to a restaurant, like I'm not asking what kind of potatoes they use. I'm not that kind of person.
No, you'd be terrible.
But I do notice whenever they use all purpose and I'm happier when they do because I think as a whole, well, restaurants, they're doing it right. You know what I mean? They're not home cooks just doing their own thing. What you typing over there, young man?
I just thought about the greatest fry that ever existed.
You already said, are you going to say Balthazar?
No, what is Balthazar? Is that the New York
in
restaurant?
In New York, apparently they have the best french fries in New York. It's called Balthazar. Also, I think Shaquille O'Neal or Michael Jordan has like the biggest french fry in the world.
Michael Jordan Steakhouse, yeah. They
I'm
did
trying
a thing.
To go in Chicago when I go. David said no.
Where I'm trying to find the fries that I grew up eating. It was in a bag.
Someone's not
Hear
a
me
Bulls
out.
Fan.
Hear me out.
Or Ida.
What?
Or Ida fries?
We couldn't afford Or Ida growing up. We had something that were simply called fajita fries. If anybody out there remembers a generic grocery brand product that was frozen and called fajita fries, and you would put them in the oven, and some of the outside ones would get burnt, the inside ones would still be soft, but they were the most heavily seasoned, crispy fries that you could possibly get. And I cannot find, Maggie, I'm Googling right now, and I can't find nothing on fajita fries. But they were incredible.
So
that's it.
The answer is fajita fries for you?
Fajita fries.
Something that doesn't exist on the internet that is impossible to find. You cannot source it. You can't source it, which means it's really hard to source is your favorite fry. You need to tell me you're that obscure and you're that much of a gatekeeper.
Fajita fries.
Thanks for watching.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the universe. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casserole!
Metal. I love that.
I want to do it like this next time. Is that how they do it?
Yeah, kind of. That was pretty good. Yeah. Kind of got that like demonic, what do they call it? Like a cult scream.
I want to do it. I'm going to do it like this around.
That's pretty solid. All right. What do we got?
Hi, Josh and Nicole. This is Nick.
Hi, Nick.
50% cold just to hear that message. 50% because I had something to say. First off, you guys are my favorite mythical podcast. Maybe tied with your biscuits, but no. Not calling them, am I? So, just wanted to say desserts are 100% better cold. Every dessert should be served cold.
False.
And if it's not, I don't want it in my mouth. Chocolate desserts are the best cold, but all desserts
false.
Should
false.
Be
false.
Factually false.
Yeah.
I have a very specific reason. Nick, love you.
Nick,
thank you for listening to the podcast.
You're wrong.
100%
I still
wrong.
Love
could
you,
not
though.
Be more wrong, in fact.
Yeah. I love hot chocolate things.
Flavors open up more in your mouth holes when it's warm. Smell rises. Smell part of flavor. Chocolate, incredibly aromatic.
Very.
Chocolate really sings when it's warm to me.
Mm-hmm.
You have more of the aromas. And I was recently at a restaurant, not that recent, Birdie G's is what it's called.
I've always wanted to go.
They do really great work. We should go. Their matzo ball soup, best I've ever had. It's like $18. I absolutely love
it.
But they have something that they call a chocolate icebox cake, and it is a reference to going to like a Marie Callender's or one of those types of restaurants.
Sure.
And they're taking the dessert straight out the fridge, already on a plate, putting it in front of you.
Crazy.
Crazy, right? And so they have a cake. It is a chocolate cake that they just deliberately keep very, very, very cold.
Sure.
And you eat it, and it is too dense because cold, right? If you think about any sort of bread, pastry, whatever, you microwave it, it loosens up a little bit,
which
gets less dense.
Which is nice, yeah.
Which is nice. And again, this is what they're going for, but it's just, it is dense, it is cold, the frosting is seized, it is hard, it is not as lively as you
sure.
want it to be. I want like a nice room temp cake with a beautiful crumb and then a cold ice cream next to it.
I love, I microwaved a chocolate chip cookie for like 10 seconds and it was delicious.
Yeah.
Like, you ever had a flourless chocolate cake that has molten in the center? That's incredible.
Unreal.
What's another chocolate dessert? I don't know.
Souffle.
A chocolate souffle. Delicious.
Gotta be hot.
Good warm. Good hot. Good
hot.
Warm. I like cold desserts. I understand that they exist. But with chocolate desserts, especially baked good desserts, it needs to be warm.
Give me like an ice cold vanilla bean panna cotta.
Yeah, I'll
oh
take
my
that.
God. Maybe some bay leaf in there.
I made a bay leaf and orange cake one time, and it was so good. It was like killer.
You left the whole bay leaves in there.
Yes.
Kind of suck off the bay leaves.
The bay leaves. You kind of like caramelize the bay leaves, and then you cut them, and they're so good.
Come on.
Yeah, it's like it was like orange and bay leaves on the top, caramelized in a bundt cake. It was really gorgeous. It was really good.
I had an olive oil cake recently.
Mm-hmm.
Candied fennel.
I made you an olive oil cake like my first like month here, remember?
Where was the candied fennel?
I did candied blood orange. I did blood orange instead. I did a citrus situation. I did four different kinds of citrus fruits and I put thyme in there. Do you remember that?
No. What was it for?
You said, hey, have fun cooking here. And I said, okay.
Sick.
Yeah, this was like in the
Can
beginning.
Can you make one today?
Yeah, I would love to make one today.
Please.
An olive oil cake?
Do you have time?
Shake on it. We're touching again.
I love that. Fantastic. We have good olive oils in here, too.
To
I don't want to touch.
We have blood orange. We have blood orange olive oil.
Make a cake.
I'm making a cake today.
Make a cake.
Next opinion, please.
Hi, guys. My name's Cal. I live in East Los Angeles. And my kind of controversial opinion is that I don't think frying pans are good for frying.
Okay.
Like if I'm going to fry chicken, I'm looking for like a small pot or something really with edges. But frying pans are just not good. Not good at all for frying. Love the show. Bye.
This is interesting.
Yes.
This is interesting because frying means a lot of different things.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Like you're talking about deep frying, like oil frying, like
I think it's
the
like,
word deep frying exists because it's the antithesis to a very shallow fry.
Yeah.
And a shallow fry can be very, very shallow. A shallow
Super
fry
shallow.
Can be a half inch oil, if that, right?
Almost as shallow as Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born.
I don't get that at all. So I'm going to keep talking about veal.
Okay.
So like you're making like a veal Milanese, right?
Yeah.
A frying pan is a perfect vessel.
Yeah.
And you actually need it for Milanese or Milanesa as well. Like I'm thinking about like the thinnest cut of meat possible.
Yes.
If you drop it in a deep fryer, you're gonna miss
it's gonna
out.
Curl and shrivel.
It's gonna curl.
Yeah.
So you literally need something like a frying pan, a very like wide bottom thing that is going to get surface contact on it to keep it flat,
That's
and then
right.
you get extra pan browning on it.
Yeah.
So if you think of frying exclusively as deep frying, agree that a frying pan is bad, but that's the reason that the term deep frying exists because it's an
yes.
antithesis.
Yes. I got a frying egg. You have a frying egg?
Fry an egg. Perfect example.
Use a frying pan.
You ever hear people just use the term grill to mean like anything?
No.
Like grilled chicken and it's just cooked on like a flat
top?
Never. Like throw a burger on the grill.
I get that.
Right? They say that in restaurants all the time. At McDonald's, they say throw the burger on the grill.
Yeah, it's a griddle.
It's a griddle. It's not a grill.
Well, they're similar enough. It's okay.
But that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of equivocation. With
so
frying
what?
Frying pans? Grills?
Yeah,
griddle?
Well,
the plancha?
I get. Yeah, like no one's going to say plancha unless, you know.
You want to sound like a really restaurant dweeb? Like you just watched The Bear?
Sure.
Put it on the plancha.
Yeah, like nobody
Cousin.
Says plancha. No one says plancha.
I'm Maddie Matheson.
Oh my God, I just finished Girls and the guy, Desi, is the uncle in The Bear. And it was so good.
Oh, really?
Such different characters. Incredible.
Eben. Eben Moss Bachrach.
His name is Eben. And
Eben.
I don't know.
Eben Moss Bachrach.
Such a good actor.
He's great.
Come
he
on
does,
the show. I just
want
to hang out with you. Okay, next opinion.
Hey, Josh and Nicole. My name is Jose. Long-time listener. I started listening to the Gabriel Iglesias
good podcast
episode.
Great episode.
And then I went back and rewatched everything. Anyways, my food opinion is it's kind of weird. Growing up, I looked up a lot to my brother, and he would eat popcorn, and then he would put Valentina sauce on it.
Yes.
Yum.
But I was a wimp, and I couldn't handle spicy things growing up. So instead, what I did to kind of imitate him was I would eat
Stop.
Popcorn with ketchup on it.
Oh, I knew
Not
you
a lot,
were going to say
still
that.
Some of it there. And even to this day, it's kind of one of my guilty pleasure snacks.
Oh.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Oh.
That's so funny.
I totally understand that, like, trying to, like, look up to your brother and, like, emulate him in, like, different ways. So I get it. I think that's really cute.
It's adorable.
I don't have a problem with it. I think popcorn and ketchup kind of makes a little bit of sense. Not the most. Not the most.
Yeah, less so than hot sauce. Less so than hot sauce.
Hot sauce is good on everything, but ketchup isn't good on everything. But I'm sure it's good on buttered popcorn.
If you watered down your ketchup, I feel like it would be more successful. I think the only problem I have with this isn't the flavor, right? Because you want the sweet and the tart, right? The acid is really what you get.
Yeah.
When I put hot sauce on most things, oh my God. Oh my God, I gotta stop doing this. When I put hot sauce on most things, it is not for the spice
it's
necessarily,
for
it's for the acid. It's for the
yeah,
acid and
yeah,
the salt.
Yeah. Sure, I get that.
You know what I mean? If there was a cold sauce, maybe I would do that and maybe I would have to poop less in the middle of my workouts in the morning. Sorry, full discretion.
You poop in the middle of your workout?
I did that the other day. I was like, one, I was my arms kind of exhausted. It was a big arm blowout
yeah.
day. And I was like, I could use a break anyways. And like, and then I went and blew out something else. But the point is, ketchup, it's a little too thick. It doesn't stick. I'm keeping my hands over here. It doesn't stick to the popcorn the same way that like a Valentina hot sauce
yes,
is.
Yes, yes.
Right?
I see that. Yeah.
Because I'm a huge fan of wetting your crunchies.
Yeah,
if
me,
you know what
I'm
I mean.
Not a big fan of wetting my crunchies. About wetting my crunchies. I'm not the biggest fan of that, but I understand how they taste good together.
I like the Mexican snack chips. Like there's the pork cracklins, the chicharrones that
yes.
come with a packet of hot sauce in the bag.
Yeah.
So you open the packet of hot sauce in the bag, put it in the bag, shake it, wet your crunchies more. It's a great time.
I take workout classes, so I feel guilty leaving in the middle of my workout.
Yeah, that's why I like, but I mean, I'm doing like 2.5 hour sessions. Like I'm up at 5:30 every morning, gym from, and a lot of it is
two and a half hours?
Prehab, rehab, recovery. I'm doing a big knee recovery program right now because I've been having problems. So like 1/2 hour is devoted to that, 1/2 hour cardio, 1.5 hour lifting.
Holy crap.
Yeah, well, I used to do 2-a-days, and I stopped doing 2-a-days now, so now I'm just waking up earlier and earlier. I'm doing the Mark Wahlberg thing.
Hold on, you would spend 5 hours working out?
No. I used to do like a one-hour session in the morning, then a one-hour session at night, but now I'm like, I should probably spend more time with my loved ones.
So you wake up earlier.
So I wake up earlier, yeah.
Wow, good for you. 2.5 hours.
We're trying, but sometimes you gotta poop. And Equinox does not have bidets.
Yo.
Which is a problem. Why don't they have bidets?
I know. I've talked to them.
Public bidets are a little weird, maybe, but like not really.
I've spoken to them.
Good. Good. God, we are one percenters now.
Hi, this is Luke. I'm a long-time listener, a 4th or 5th time caller. What's a guy got to do to get on your podcast?
You got to do this.
Anywho, my opinion about food is that Panda Express has one of the most reliable dumpsters to eat out of because nobody finishes their rice. I used to be homeless, and you can always find a white box full of rice. And also, there was a Chipotle in Minneapolis where the workers, when they closed, they would put all of the hot food in one trash bag. No dirty napkins, no nasty things or anything like that. So that when you went to the dumpster, you could just find the warm bag and make a burrito. I think all food workers should follow this practice because, you know, it's like a legal gray zone, but people come to dumpster dive.
You gotta help
them out. And, you know, you can't be implicated if you're just, you know, throwing all your hot food in one bag and, you know, maybe even double bagging it or something like that, putting a star on it, something like that. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Luke.
100%.
100%.
I think people don't realize how common dumpster diving is. I mean, hell, my family, we do it. We'd go out back.
Dumpster diving freegans, they call them as well. Some people.
We would go out back of grocery stores because there's, and again, like it's technically illegal. And like you said, there's a lot of legal gray zones.
I can't believe it's illegal.
Where you can't just give out food. And I understand the impetus because FDA regulation, not held at a certain temperature, yada, yada. But also this company has a problem with just underserving poor people 100%. In every single way.
100%.
So like, damn, if you're not going to provide, freaking fast food workers, take it upon yourself to make that happen. I mean, we donate a lot of food in ways that are 100% legal and everything is checked off.
Listen, don't do anything illegal, but I like the star on the bag method a lot.
Yeah, 100%, man.
I love the star on the bag method. And if it can help people, hungry people, I think it should be done. And if it's illegal, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, listen, laws are not morality, right?
That's
like, we can
true.
All agree with that.
That's
you know what
true.
I, mean?
I agree with that.
Weird that like weed is illegal for so long.
In some aspects, yes. In some aspects,
no. Flat out laws are not morality. They have nothing. Maybe they try.
What? Don't kill somebody.
No, that's a moral thing. But like,
but that there's also a law like, to that.
Sure, but like,
I'm saying some and some.
Like, I got pulled over once because my quote license plate light was too dim, and then they said, "Can I search your car?"
And you said no.
And I said no. Good. So point is, laws are there to keep people controlled and in check and not necessarily for moral reasons. Welcome to my TED Talk. I'm saying.
I'm so glad
so
this
many
podcast
laws,
is about food.
So many laws prevent hungry people
from
getting food, right?
That's screwed up. That's
Even
screwed
including
up. I agree with
laws
that.
And regulations about when grocery stores can throw stuff away. When
it's
we
crazy.
Pump
it's
our food
unfair.
Full of so much preservatives.
Oh my God.
That it is literally meant to last a lifetime, but you're throwing out the Wonder Bread because it's past the sell-by date that was arbitrarily put on there. Get the hell out of here.
Arbitrarily.
Feed hungry people,
Feed
goddammit.
Hungry people. Put a star on the trash bags with the warm food.
Shout out to Luke.
Or just find... Or, side note, there's, like, a ton of programs where companies like Starbucks have done this where they give it to, like, food banks and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what the... It's Minneapolis, they said they were from?
Maybe.
I'm sure there's programs, but I get it. Okay, next.
Sorry,
ew, Josh.
Hey, this is Robert from Utah. How's it going?
Hi, Robert.
Josh and Nicole and other people both listen to my personal message. I think exotic meat and wild game should be easier access. I still go to my local grocery store, get a pound of camel meat, a dozen Rocky Mountain oysters and a bucket of eel, just have a great weekend. I should also be able to go to a greasy spoon diner and get some country style elk backstrap with some white gravy.
You're right.
I've had
that's a good,
whale
that's
in
a
Japan, cut. Kangaroo in Australia. We're in America. Give me the meat.
We're in America. Yo,
I'm a sovereign citizen. I deserve camel meat.
No, I agree. The issue is the demand probably isn't there.
Yeah.
So there's no demand. So it doesn't make sense for these large markets to be able to hold like pounds and pounds of camel meat. Doesn't make sense. Which is why you can buy them online from specialty stores and they can, you know, send you stuff and stuff like that.
You know why they have a lot of whale meat in Japan? Because they kill whales in Japan.
Why
they have a lot of kangaroo meat in Australia? Because they kill and eat kangaroos in Australia. The whaling thing in Japan, we talked about this a little bit with the food crimes episode. Mm-hmm. It's a very tenuous gray area. And I don't want to come out as pro-whaling, but
I'm not educated enough on the subject to speak about it.
Nor am I. But in general, I think moral outrage for what animals are acceptable to eat. And I know this is an ecological concern, not just a moral concern. But anyways, point is, people eat what is around and what historically they have hunted. They've been hunting whales for 600 years in Japan. Deer. There needs to be a lot more deer meat in America.
Yeah.
There's so many deer and everybody hates them.
There's just no demand. No one is calling and telling Kroger, hey, carry deer meat.
I know, but it's delicious. We should just be selling it. They're crappy. They're invasive. They're annoying. They jump into cars.
I get it.
Deer kill people.
I love game
meat.
Eat
more deer.
I think eating more game meat and wild birds
is healthy.
It's a great way to diversify your diet. And I think you try new things and you try new flavors and you never know what you'll find.
We've gotten so efficient in America to where even like we're growing our chickens to have bigger bazambas. You know, and so there's like less wings. There's literally a wing shortage every Super Bowl.
Every Super Bowl.
All we want is chicken breast.
Yep.
And you get any wild bird, the breast is tiny compared to a chicken.
Little.
Cuts like oxtail. People, the quandary of oxtail, right? Why it's so expensive. A lot of people, like white people, gentrified oxtail, which is certainly true to some degree.
I think it's true to some degree.
However, the other part of it is that we are able to grow cows so much bigger than we used to and more efficiently.
But their tails stay the same.
Each cow only got one tail still.
True,
same as a chicken. It only got two wings. You can only grow them so much. So we're having these just massive
hormones.
Cuts
is it because they're pumped with hormones?
It's crossbreeding. It's hormones. It's, you know, just a lot of stuff.
Let's go hunt for our own food, Josh.
I agree. Like, we'll go Joe Rogan. We'll go kill some wild boars.
Do you think I can learn how to use a crossbow?
Yeah.
Do you think I can do it?
I don't think you pull a crossbow like that.
Okay, how about like this?
I think it's a bow and arrow. I think a crossbow, you fire like a gun. It's a trigger.
Oh, yeah, like this.
Yeah, close enough.
No, I think I could be really good at archery.
I think I'd be good at like convincing the animal that it's in its best interest to walk into my trap. You know? Like I'd be good at trickery, less so marksmanship.
I think I'd be a really good markswoman.
I couldn't tie the snare. But I could convince the rabbit that it should get its foot in that position.
Can it talk to rabbits?
Yeah.
Like Professor Doolittle?
The rabbit whisperer. Doctor?
Professor?
It's definitely Doctor, because Dr. Doolittle's alliterative.
Oh, it's not.
It'd be Professor Poolittle.
Oh.
If that was the... And you're thinking of the Eddie Murphy version, not the Robert
Downey
Jr.
No, the absentee. What's it called?
The Nutty Professor.
No.
That's Eddie Murphy, though.
The Nutty Professor is not Dr. Doolittle.
It's both Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Correct.
That's where I messed up. I messed up there. The Nutty Professor and Dr. Doolittle are both Eddie Murphy, but I was able to mix up both of those titles and be incorrect.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. We got new audio-only versions of our podcast every Wednesday. The video drops every Friday.
The absentee-minded professor is what I'm thinking of.
That's not a thing, right? That's not
yes,
an IP.
Yes, it is.
Are you kidding me?
That was based off... That's where Nutty Professor or Dr. Doolittle, one of them was based off of.
Oh, okay. But it was called The Absent-Minded Professor?
Yes.
Was it like French? Was it like a...
If you want to be featured on Opinions Like Casseroles, you can hit us up at 833-DOG-POD-1. The number again is 833-DOG-POD-1.
You ever think about how there's all these movies that come out that you didn't even recognize on your radar, but that's because those movies, when you were a kid and everything is more exciting? If you want to be featured on Opinions Like Casseroles, check us out on YouTube. We launch new videos every week. We'll see y'all next time.